My name is Father Fran Pesley. I'm a priest in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I've been a priest about 4 years this coming May. My parish is called St. Andrews, and it's a big parish in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. We have about 2,000 families. The pastor and I live in the rectory with two retired priests. The pastor is 71, the other priest is 72, and the other one is 75. So I bring the average age down to 62 because I'm 30 years old. If I wasn't there, the average age would be 73. We have over 1,500 kids in our CCD program. We've baptized over 500 babies. So at Mass, there's hundreds and hundreds of kids around. When I got to the parish, Monsignor said, "Father Pesley, welcome to St. Andrews. Everybody is pregnant except for me and you." So, Monsignor, let's keep it that way. So it's great being a priest and being able to serve God and trying to lead souls closer to God and to our Lord through the Blessed Mother. How many of you have heard of Father Ken Roberts? He's on Mother Angelica's network. He's known as Father Pick a Word, right? Whenever he goes anywhere, he always picks out one word to preach on, and I've been trying to do that over the last couple of years as well. And the word I want to pick out tonight from the readings is the word reform. Because that idea appears in the first reading and also in the Gospel. In the first reading to the Romans, Paul talked about how he has been called by God to preach the Gospel, to preach the good news, to continue the work of the prophets. The Old Testament prophets called people to reform. They called people to change their lives. They called people to conversion. And that's what Paul was called to do as well. Then in the New Testament reading, the Gospel, our Lord talked about Nineveh and how Nineveh, a very evil, wicked city, reformed at the preaching of Jonah. And yet, the people in our Lord's time did not reform their lives for the most part. Some of them did, but for the most part, they did not change their lives. They did not reform. So our Lord says, at the preaching of Jonah, Nineveh reformed, but you have a greater than Jonah here. So that's the idea I wanted to pick tonight, the idea of reform. It began in the Old Testament with the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, even the patriarchs, Moses, Abraham. The main job of these prophets and patriarchs was to call people to reform their lives and to call down God's mercy upon the people. That's the twofold role of a prophet, to call people to repentance, to conversion, and to intercede for them on behalf of God. There's all sorts of stories in Scripture where Abraham prays to God for the people, where Moses is interceding on behalf of the people, asking for God's mercy. Now, our Blessed Mother is a prophetess, if you will. She is that special chosen one called by God to appear at Fatima in 1917 and to call the world today to conversion and to repentance. Our Lady's message is very similar to the message of the prophets. It's calling down God's mercy, interceding on our behalf before God, and calling us to repentance and conversion, calling us to reform our lives. At Fatima, Our Lady appears as the Mother of Mercy. Don't we say that whenever we say the Hail Holy Queen? Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. We wonder, why would our Blessed Mother appear at that particular time in history, 1917? If we study history, we know that World War I was raging terribly. It was the worst war that had ever happened on planet Earth. Millions of lives were being slaughtered just for no reason at all. Pope Benedict XV was the Pope at that time, and he appealed to all the world leaders to stop this senseless slaughter of these young men. All of Europe was a battlefield. On May 5th, 1917, Pope Benedict XV wrote a pastoral letter to the entire church, and in it, he asked the Blessed Mother to intercede. He said, "We wish the petitions of her most afflicted children to be directed with lively confidence, more than ever in this awful hour, to the great Mother of God, to Mary then, who is the Mother of Mercy and omnipotent by grace." Isn't that interesting that the Pope called Our Lady the Mother of Mercy? And he said that she was omnipotent by grace. "Let loving and devout appeals go up from every corner of the earth, from noble temples and tiniest chapels, from royal palaces and mansions of the rich, as from the poorest hut, from every place wherein a faithful soul finds shelter, from blood-drenched plains and seas, that it bear to her the anguished cries of mothers and wives, the wailing of little innocent ones, the sighs of every generous heart, that her most tender and benign solicitude may be moved and the peace we ask for be obtained for our agitated world." A lot of people don't realize that the Pope wrote this letter, and 8 days later, our Blessed Mother appeared to the three children at Fatima. It tells us a couple of things. First, it tells us that it takes about 8 days to get mail up to heaven, right? It took 8 days for her to come. But it also tells us even something more profound, that our Blessed Mother is the Mother of Mercy. She is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and she will not leave her children abandoned. She will come to them in their need. Just as she came to Guadalupe when the people there were in great need. Our Lady of Fatima called us to reform. She was on a mission of mercy as a prophetess, calling us to repent and asking God to have mercy on the world. I want to use that word reform and give us just one idea for every letter in that word. And these six letters in reform, at least in my mind, represent the six main messages of Our Lady of Fatima. The first letter in the word reform is R, and it stands for reparation for sin. You just have to read the message of Fatima, and you will notice that Our Lady and the angel that appeared first, one of their main messages was, we have to make reparation for sin. They said, God is offended by sin. You have to pray and sacrifice. The angel said, console your God who is so outraged by sacrileges and indifference. The angel taught the children how to make reparation. The angel taught the children to pray, to kneel down, and to say, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. So the first key idea of Fatima is reparation for sin. That God chooses us, his faithful people, to offer reparation, to make up for the sins of the world. Because who's going to do it if you don't? Who is going to make reparation if you and I don't? Who else is there? Second letter in the word reform is an E, and it stands for Eucharistic adoration. In my mind, this is the second message of Fatima. The angel, remember the angel when it appeared in 1916 in the spring? The angel of peace, the guardian angel of Portugal, appeared three times to the children in 1916 to prepare their hearts for the coming of our Blessed Mother. It says that the angel took the host and suspended it above the chalice, suspended it in air. And then the angel went around and prostrated and just fell flat on his face and adored Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And he taught the children that beautiful prayer, Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore thee profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which he himself is offended. And by the infinite merits of the Most Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. So the angel was teaching these children true Eucharistic adoration, how to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. It's a prayer all of us should memorize and to pray when we make visits to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. From that time on, the children began attending daily Mass and began to receive our Lord in Holy Communion as soon as they were able to make their first communion. The angel also gave the children Holy Communion, a great privilege. The children actually received our Lord from the angel himself. The next letter in Reform is an F, and it stands for doing the Father's will. Again, one of the ideas of Fatima is to turn your life over to God, to give yourself and to do God's will in your life. Oftentimes, Our Lady and the angel would tell the children, submit yourself to God's will. Accept with resignation all the sufferings that God will send you. God has great designs for you. See, God has a plan for each one of us. Just as He had a plan for Lucia and Francisco and Jacinta, God has designs and God has a plan for each one of us. And one of the messages of Fatima is submit to the Father's will. Give your life completely to the will of the Father. And don't we say that in the Our Father? We say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Oftentimes we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be changed. Don't we? Don't we pray that God will do our will? One of the messages of Fatima is that we will submit ourselves to God's designs for us, to God's plan for us. Maximilian Kolbe said that true holiness is submitting our will to the will of God. The next letter in Reform is an O, and it stands for offer sacrifice. Again, one of the key messages of Fatima is to offer sacrifice. Mary said, sacrifice yourself for the conversion of sinners. And remember in July, Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell, reaffirming the reality of hell, which so many people deny today, even though Christ spoke about it over 30 times in the New Testament. Our Blessed Mother said that many souls go to hell because they have no one to sacrifice for them. So our Blessed Mother and the Holy Angel of Portugal told the children to offer sacrifice, to do penance. The angel even said, let everything you do during the day be a penance that you can offer up. Even the little things you can offer up for love of God, for the salvation of souls and the conversion of poor sinners. The next letter in Reform is R. It stands for to recite the Rosary. Again, our Blessed Mother said, pray the Rosary every day. She didn't say pray it once a week or once a month or on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Blessed Mother said, pray the Rosary every day. Our Blessed Mother doesn't ask us for a whole lot, but she did ask us to pray the Rosary every day to obtain peace in the end of the war. Remember when Our Lady talked to Jacinta and to Lucia, Our Lady said, you will go to heaven soon. Well, to Jacinta, then to Lucia, she said, you will go to heaven as well, but you'll have to stay on earth spreading devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And little Francisco pops up and says, how about me? Do I get to go to heaven? And the Blessed Mother says, yes, even Francisco will go to heaven, but he will first have to say many rosaries. Okay, so the rosary is a beautiful prayer. Our Blessed Mother wants us to say it every day. The last letter in Reform is an M. It stands for Marian Consecration. The sixth message of Fatima is consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Blessed Mother says that God wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart. Our Lady said, I am your sure refuge and I will lead you to God. The Blessed Mother told the children to make sure that Russia is consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. that Catholics make the five first Saturdays. You go to Mass on the first Saturday of each month, you pray the Rosary, you receive Communion, offer it in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you then go to confession within 8 days before or 8 days after, and then you spend 15 minutes in prayer and meditation thinking over one or all of the mysteries of the Rosary. Our Lady said, make the five first Saturdays. If you do these things, Our Lady said, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and many souls will be saved from hell. So that's the idea of reform. Our Blessed Mother called for reform through reparation for sin, Eucharistic adoration, doing the Father's will, offering sacrifice, reciting the Rosary, and Marian consecration. That's what the message of Fatima is all about. And Pope John Paul II is now a modern-day prophet reaffirming and repeating the same message that the Old Testament prophets and that our Blessed Mother spoke in Fatima in 1917. Pope John Paul II is truly prophetic in how he is encircling the globe, traveling more than any pope in the history of the world, to call people to reform their lives, to follow the Ten Commandments, to live the Gospel, and to truly be followers of Christ. Did any of you go out to Denver? Anybody go to Denver in here to see the Pope? I had the privilege of going. I took about 20 kids from my parish. Incredible experience to be in Mile High Stadium with 100,000 young people, and the Pope flies in by helicopter and lands in the parking lot, and they put him in the Popemobile and drive him around the inner circle of Mile High Stadium with 100,000 young people cheering and praising God. It was an incredible spirit-filled experience. Kids came from all over the world. Kids came from Italy and Hong Kong and Vietnam and Africa and Australia and New Zealand, all over the world, to be with the Pope and to show that they love Christ. Incredible experience. Many of these kids really roughed it and sacrificed on this pilgrimage to Denver. Many of them slept in tents and parking garages. I hate to admit it, our group sort of roughed it over at the Marriott, but I didn't tell them that. We had the privilege of being there when the Pope came also to be there during the prayer vigil with 300,000 young people. They all brought their sleeping bags. Incredible experience to camp out there. It got really cold, I must admit. It was freezing that night. Colorado gets pretty chilly. But we got to be with our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, the 264th successor of St. Peter. And I had the privilege of one of my parishioners was working security that night for the Holy Father. So he got me up front, and right before the end of it, of the prayer service, he tapped me on the shoulder and says, come back here, the Pope's going to go down the back, you know, the back steps. He's not going to go out the front. So I followed him, so we walked around, he pushed a few bishops and cardinals aside, and he said, stand right next to this woman in the wheelchair, because the Pope loves children, he loves anyone who has any physical ailments, he'll come right up to him. And so I stood next to this lady and her family. The Pope finished saying goodbye to the people. He's coming down the back steps with all the Secret Service and all the cardinals, and he comes down to this woman, and he gives her a blessing and kisses her and says a few words. Then he comes to me. I'm next. So I held out my hands and he took both my hands. And it was my chance to say something to the Pope. What would you say if you had a chance to say something to the Pope? Hi there, Pope. And there's all sorts of things you could say. I knew about the Blessed Mother, so I said, Ave Maria. And he said, Ave Maria. And then I kissed his ring, which is what you customarily do, and you meet the Pope. Incredible sense of the presence of God. Very holy, very Christ-like man. Just to be in his presence, you can feel the presence of God. He's truly living the Gospel, living the Spirit of Christ. So then, I haven't washed these hands in 2 months now. But the Holy Father, his message in Denver was very similar to the prophets and to our Blessed Mother. He called the world to repent of its sin. He says, woe to you and woe to me if we are not successful in defending innocent life. He said we must defend innocent life from the moment of conception until natural death. The Holy Father said America needs much prayer lest it lose its soul. God bless you. Last night we talked about Our Lady's call to reform our lives through making reparation for sin, through the recitation of the rosary, offering sacrifice, consecrating our lives to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Tonight I wanted to focus on one of those means to help reform our lives, and that is the Holy Rosary. Without a doubt, our Blessed Mother wants us to say the rosary. When she appeared on February 11, 1858, to Bernadette at Lourdes, she had the rosary over her right elbow. It's a saying that actions speak louder than words. Notice when she came in 1858, it was over her right arm. 1917, May 13th, the rosary had moved to her hand. She spoke to the children and she said, "Pray the rosary every day. Continue to pray the rosary. I want you to pray the rosary." Our Lady called herself the Lady of the Rosary. The Blessed Mother has 1,600 titles. She could have chosen her most exalted title, the Mother of God. Or she could have chosen her second most exalted title, the Immaculate Conception. But no, she chose the title, the Lady of the Rosary. 1932 to 1933, from November 29th to January 3rd, the Blessed Mother appeared 33 times in Berang, Belgium, to five children. And this time, the rosary had moved from her hand to her fingertips. From 1858 to 1917 to 1933, every time Our Lady's appeared, by her actions as well as her words, she has asked the people and us to pray the rosary. 28 out of 33 of those times that Mary appeared to the children fell down on their knees on the gravel and went into ecstasy and said the rosary. As they prayed the rosary, doctors came up and tried to see if these children were faking it or whether it was authentic. They stuck the children with pins. They didn't hurt. They didn't bleed. They put lighters, cigarette lighters, underneath their hands. It did them no harm. Three strong men tried to pick up one 70-pound girl, and they couldn't budge her. They were wrapped in ecstasy, saying the rosary. When the children had finished saying the rosary each night, the theologians that were there, the church officials, asked them, why would they suddenly fall down and pray the rosary? You know what they said? They said, we had no choice. The Blessed Mother forced us to say the rosary. That's how much the Blessed Mother wants rosaries. Even one rosary makes a world of difference. I want to tell you a story of how one rosary, just one person saying one rosary, made the entire world a better place. In the year 1840, a 19-year-old university student in Paris was having a crisis in his Catholic faith. He wasn't sure whether he believed or not. He staggered into the back of a Catholic church, and he saw a man praying his rosary very devoutly and very reverently. As soon as this university student saw this man, and he was the only one in church, his crisis of faith vanished, and his faith was reaffirmed. Well, that man praying the rosary was Professor André Ampère from the University of Paris. We know him as a famous inventor and scientist. We get the word amplifier from him. We get the word amp from this Catholic scientist, Catholic inventor. The young man who had his faith strengthened that night was Frederick Ozanam, who the next year founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society in the year 1842. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is now in every diocese, every country of the world. And from the Saint Vincent de Paul Society in 1921 came the Legion of Mary, which grew out of the Saint Vincent de Paul Society. So that one man praying the one rosary in the front of that church did not even realize that his one rosary would affect the lives of millions and millions of people, even down to today, with all the tremendous work that the St. Vincent de Paul Society is doing in feeding the poor and clothing the poor, and all the tremendous spiritual works of mercy that the Legion of Mary is doing. Another story. The year 1891, a train was going from Dijon to Paris. And on this train was an elderly man praying his rosary. Sitting across from him was a young university student holding a big stack of textbooks. The old man got out his rosary and began to pray his rosary. The young man looked over at him and said, "I see you still believe in that silly superstition." The old man says, "Yes, I do, don't you?" The university student said, "Well, I used to until I went to the university and became educated." And he began to try to enlighten this elderly man, and eventually the train came to a stop and they were running out of time. So the young man says, "Well, do you know how to read?" And the old man said, "Yeah, I can read." "Well, can you give me your address and I'll mail you some books so you can become enlightened, so you can get rid of those unscientific and superstitious things like the rosary?" Well, the old man reached in his pocket and pulled out his business card, and the young man got the shock of his life. You've probably heard the story. Louis Pasteur, Department of Research, University of Paris. The old man was one of the most brilliant scientists of his day, praying his rosary beads as he went to work each day to teach in the university. I have a feeling that young man never sent any of those science books. Dr. Louis Pasteur, of course, became famous in his purification process for milk. I tell the kids in my parish, "I want you to go home, go to the kitchen, open up the refrigerator, take out the carton of milk, and look for the word pasteurized on the milk. You'll be drinking Catholic milk if you do that." The kids love it. They all go home and say, "Mommy, I learned something at school today." The third story I want to tell you is about Bartolo Longo. Anybody ever hear of him? Bartolo Longo was born in 1841 in Naples. He went to the University of Naples, and there he abandoned his Catholic faith. He got involved in the occult. He got involved in Satanism. And he was even ordained a high priest in the Church of Satan. His friends kept praying for him. One of his friends, named Vincent, prayed the rosary for him every single day from the time he left the Catholic faith. Eventually, Vincent was able to convince Bartolo to get out of the satanic movement, to abandon this occult group. And he taught Bartolo to pray the rosary. And he began to pray the rosary, and pretty soon he broke away from the satanic cult. Our Blessed Mother appeared to Bartolo on October 9th, 1872, and spoke these words to Bartolo. Even though he left the satanic movement, since he was ordained a priest in the Church of Satan, he figured he could never be saved. He figured there was a place waiting for him in hell, and there was no way God could ever have mercy on him. Our Blessed Mother appeared to him in one of his deepest moments of despair and said to him, "If you seek salvation, spread the Holy Rosary." He then spent the rest of his life, next 40 years, propagating the Holy Rosary. He even built today the beautiful shrine. He's the one who built the shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii, the national shrine to Our Blessed Mother. He died in 1926, and he was beatified by Pope John Paul II in October of 1980. He's the only former Satanist, the only former high priest in the Church of Satan that has ever been canonized, beatified in the Catholic faith. Isn't that an incredible story? You can fall so far away from God and still His mercy abounds. I think it was St. Bridget who said that as long as a person has breath in their body, they still have a chance to get to heaven. In fact, I saw that on one of your statues out there as I walked around to see your 200 statues here at the Fatima Shrine. Another story. A friend of Padre Pio's, who is a priest, was talking with Padre Pio one day, and he knew that Padre Pio always said about 15 rosaries every day, which is a lot. Padre Pio was very busy. Spent most of his time hearing confessions and saying Mass and giving spiritual direction. And his friend asked him, "Yes, yesterday, how many rosaries did you say? Did you say you're 15? Yes. Did you say 20? Yes. 30? Yes. 50? Yes. 100? Yes. 150? Yes. 160? Yes, I had said 160 rosaries yesterday. Isn't that incredible? And this comes from a priest who is an intimate and close friend of Padre Pio. Incredible. How could he say 160 rosaries in one day? It's humanly impossible. Of course, he could also bilocate, so maybe he was saying two at the same time, right? He had it a little bit easier than we would. My own grandmother had a great love for the rosary. She died at the age of 93, about 7 or 8 years ago. She was completely deaf. She was almost blind. She couldn't read any longer. She couldn't watch any TV. She just sat in her chair in the living room, and she said, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 rosaries a day. And she had all different kinds of rosaries. She had a rosary like this, and a big rosary with big beads, another rosary. And each one she would pick up and say, you know, Francis, this one's for you. This one's for you, and this one's for your sisters, and this one's for the souls in purgatory, and this one is for the Pope. And she probably thought it was still Pius IX or something. She probably hadn't heard of any of the Popes since in the last 50 years. But she prayed the rosary every single day. And she was a great blessing to my family and to myself, that's for sure. In fact, Bishop Sheen says that if you take care of someone, let's say someone who's handicapped or retarded or an elderly grandmother, that you will get special graces for your family if you do that. And everybody I know that's done that, that's taken care of a loved one or a person who has maybe a Down syndrome or whatever, their family will get special graces and blessings from God. And I did see that in my family. Another story. How many of you have heard of Louis Kazmarek? Anybody? Louis Kazmarek takes the International Pilgrim Virgin statue around of Our Lady of Fatima. This is a statue that has wept over 25 times. Incredible. Louis Kazmarek is a layman, and he was in the military, in the Air Force, and in Illinois a number of years ago. He had promised our Blessed Mother that he was going to say his rosary every day. And one day he happened to be working the shifts where he had to stay up all night answering the calls if the Red Cross called. So he was up for 38 straight hours. And Louis Kazmarek figured, oh, I just have to go to sleep. I'm just so beat, so tired. And as he knelt down to say his night prayers, he remembered he hadn't said his rosary for that day. And he says, oh, surely I don't have to say my rosary. I'm just so tired. Surely the Blessed Mother will understand. So he crawled into bed, and he was about to doze off to sleep. And he just said a little prayer in his own heart. In fact, the whole barracks was empty. He was the only one in there. His rosary was hanging on the bunk above his bed on the bar. And he always put the rosary on the bunk just like this. That way it could not come off. He said, Blessed Mother, if that one rosary means that much to you, then give me a sign. He's falling fast asleep, and all of a sudden he hears this. The rosary untangles and falls to the floor. He was shocked. He sprang up in bed. He said he knelt down and prayed the most devout rosary he ever said in his life. He said that's how much the Blessed Mother wanted him to pray that rosary. Bishop Hugh O'Boyle from Ireland said that no one can live continually in sin and continue to pray the rosary. Either he will give up his sin, or he will give up saying the rosary. See, one or the other has to go. A person cannot continue to pray the rosary every single day devoutly and continue to live in sin. They are incompatible. Either one or the other will go. Bishop Keen said that if you teach a person of another faith to pray the rosary, they will either stop saying the rosary or they'll become a Catholic. Isn't that great? So I encourage you to teach the rosary. As Bishop Keen also said, the best book written on the rosary in the last 25 years is written by a Methodist minister, J. Neville Ward. He wrote a book called Five for Sorrow, Ten for Joy. How many of you have heard of Father Gobi with the Man Moving the Priest? Father Gobi said a powerful thing. He said, whoever prays the rosary every day, every member of that family will be saved. You probably heard that. It's not infallible, but it comes from someone who I think is very close to God and to our Blessed Mother. Father Suarez said, Father Suarez is a Spanish Jesuit, he said, I will trade all my learning and knowledge for one devoutly prayed Hail Mary. St. Louis the Monk said, it's better to say 10 Hail Marys devoutly than 1,000 rosaries poorly and without attention. The popes have written incredible things about the rosary. Did you know that between the year 1402 and the present, there have been 502 papal encyclicals on the rosary? 502 papal encyclicals on the rosary since the year 1402. No other devotion has received as much approval and blessing as this rosary. Pope John Paul II said, the rosary is my favorite prayer. He has given out hundreds of thousands of rosaries. Every time you meet him, he gives you a rosary. It's a beautiful thing. Every time he meets anyone, whether it be out in Denver or some other place, he always gives that person a rosary. You probably read St. Louis de Montfort, where it says that if you give someone a rosary or teach someone how to pray the rosary, or if you make a rosary and someone says it, you receive a special grace. Did you know that? That if you can get people praying the rosary, every time they pray, God blesses you in a special way. So the Pope is very sneaky, right? He's very smart. He figures if he gives out hundreds of thousands of rosaries, whenever they say the rosary, he's going to get special grace for that. The Pope, whenever the Pope is in town in the Vatican, he'll lead the rosary himself on Vatican radio. That there's been many stories where bishops and cardinals have gone over to Rome and have talked to the Holy Father and said, Holy Father, we have this problem in the diocese, we have this problem in the diocese, what can we do about it? And the Pope opens up his drawer and he gives him the rosary and he says, this is the answer for all your problems. And more than one bishop has said that after they came back from their odd limit of visits, that the Pope gave them a rosary and said, this will solve your problems. The Pope before John Paul II was John Paul I, only Pope for 33 days, and yet he said, pray the rosary for peace. Before that was Paul VI. In 1965, he wrote an encyclical where he asked the people to pray the rosary. 1967, he said, pray the rosary for world peace. Before him was John the 23rd. From 1958 to 1963, he spoke out 38 times on the power of the rosary. He even wore the rosary around his neck. A lot of people don't realize that John the 23rd always wore the rosary around his neck underneath his papal garments. He prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. He called it the school of perfection, in which you can acquire every virtue. Before him was Pius XII, who also said 15 decades of the rosary every single day. And these folks, of course, are much busier than you and I, and yet they can pray 15 decades of the rosary every single day. There was a little saying that we always wish we were somebody else, right? The assistant pastor says, I wish I was the pastor, then I could really, make this parish home. I wish that the pastors are thinking, if I were only the bishop, then I could really turn this diocese around. The bishops say, if only I were a cardinal, then I'd really have some impact. The cardinals say, if only I were the pope, then I could really help the church. The Pope probably thinks, if only I were an assistant pastor again, you know, without all those cares and worries. The popes are incredibly busy, and yet, John the 23rd, Pius the 12th, both said 15 decades of the rosary every day. Before him was Pius the 11th, who every time he married a couple gave them rosaries as wedding gifts. Benedict the 15th also says 15 decades of the rosary every day. And Pope Pius the 10th, St. Pius the 10th, said, give me 1 million families praying the rosary every day, and the entire world will be saved. He said, of all the prayers, the rosary is the most beautiful and the richest in graces. It's the most pleasing to Mary. The Pope said, love the rosary and recite it every day. And Pope Leo the 13th wrote 16 encyclicals just on the rosary. He called it the remedy of all evils and the root of all our blessings. He said, among the many ways of praying, there is none more excellent than the rosary. Before him was Pius the 9th. He said, give me an army to say the rosary, and I will conquer the world. One day he was giving a tour to some of his friends, and he was taking them through the Vatican. And they said, Holy Father, what's the greatest treasure in the Vatican? So they came to the Pietà. At that time it was worth $16 million. He said, Holy Father, is that the greatest treasure in the Vatican? He said, no. And they went to the Sistine Chapel, saw Michelangelo's creation scene. He said, surely that must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican. The Pope said, no. He said, well, what in the world is it? He pulled out his rosary. He said, this is the greatest treasure in the Vatican. He said, of all devotions, the rosary has produced the most miracles. Pope Pius V established the feast day of the Holy Rosary in thanksgiving for the great Christian victory in Lepanto in 1571, where the Christians were able to defeat the Turkish fleet and brought about a great rosary victory. St. Clement Hofbauer said that he could convert the most hardened sinner if he just devoutly prayed one rosary for him. No matter how hardened the sinner was, Clement Hofbauer said, if I could just say one rosary for him, he'd be converted. St. Francis de Sales said, next to the Mass, the rosary is the most powerful prayer when you meditate on the mysteries. In fact, he prayed the rosary every day for the return of Calvinists to the Catholic Church. And during his lifetime, he was instrumental in bringing 72,000 Calvinists back into the Catholic faith. At the age of 53, Francis de Sales wanted to retire from the world, and he said, I want to take with me the two greatest weapons, my rosary and my pen. And lastly, Blessed Alain de la Roche said, whatever you ask through the rosary will be granted. God bless you.